Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that will never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. Wow. It's over the bar.
Hello and welcome to the RTEGA podcast. I'm Mikey Stafford. I'm joined as always by Rory O'Neill and also by two venerable monster men, Anthony Daly and Pat Spillane. How are we all doing, lads?
Good, on, Mikey.
Well, great.
Well, Rory's wearing his colours, his blood and bandages. Pat is delighted to see it. Pat, have you read the Irish Examiner this week? Had you heard that it's 30 years since Cork won two All-Irelands in 1 year? They call it the double. Have you heard about it?
No, I never heard about it at all. What are they celebrating it or something? We are Cork, is it? We are Cork. It's probably, do you know, it's probably one of the reasons why for Cork's lack of success on the hurling, and particularly in the hurling field, that too often I think they live in the past and they're thinking, we are Cork and we are stuck in tradition and we are great and we'll always have a conveyor belt because we're the biggest county in Ireland and we have so many clubs and And Matty, we'll have all hurlers coming through, and we will be because we are Cork.
Yeah. And no, Pat, I couldn't agree more. Pat is spot on. Cork remind me a little bit like Liverpool, like they used to sort of regale and sort of mire themselves in former glories and past and the histories and all of that. And you know, it's an ancient past, an ancient history. Now, the only thing I would say is, like, it was a significant achievement. And it is definitely something to mark. And I do think the tide is starting to turn down there. I watched the minor final last night, Dalo. I don't know if you tuned into the Examiner to watch it.
Yeah.
Very, very high standard. Yeah, very, very high standard, you know.
It's second half, isn't it?
Same thing, Barrett. Absolutely. You know, like, because they were four down at half. They were four down at one stage. So, yep. But yeah. So, look, hopefully the tide is turning. But not too quickly, says Pat.
Yeah.
Stick to the small ball.
You've gone native down there, Dalo. Obviously, you're doing the podcast with the Examiner, so you're really reveling in it. When we cut you, you bleed red, obviously.
But try and do a bit of work as well. I treat the boys on Monday evening, Teddy and Tomás and Kevin Hennessy. Great to see Kevin. He hasn't been that well. Right. And he's great. His sense of humour is still the very same anyway. And memory is perfect. So we had a good laugh. And now, how they'll cut it down to 40 minutes, I don't know, because we were talking for an hour and a half with stories about half time and donkeys don't win derbies and et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, good evening. Yeah, so I suppose it's great. Like, it could be done again, Mikey, you know. I mean, you would say, like, maybe a Galway under... You know, the likes of a Parry Joyce or, you know, obviously Cork.
Dublin could give it a rattle at some point.
They lost their chance in 13, Rory, really, you know. But you hardly ever will see, though, again, I think, the Teddy McCarthy feat, you know, where one guy...
That has to be done.
That's probably done and dusted, yeah. Yeah. Unless Conor Callaghan would be given free rein, maybe free here.
Yeah. The one thing I'd talk about actually was the fact that we have a couple of clubs around the country now who could be eyeing up a double. We had Simon Donoghue of Shelmaliers, Wexford hurling cornerback, on here a couple of weeks ago, and just fresh off the back of the hurling success, obviously in Wexford they split the season, which he did say was a help, because when you're hurling, you don't want to go play football for a week because, you know, you lose your touch for the hurling. So he was quite confident. There were some confident noises coming from Shells. A few people said to me they're a better football team than a hurling team. The all accounts for match against Glenbarrington at the weekend was X-rated. I'm not sure how many players were sent off, but it was not an advertisement for football. But they're going for it. Obviously, a lot more Castleiney are in two county finals in Tip, which is phenomenal.
They've done it before as well, haven't they?
I think they've done it before.
Did they do a double before?
I'm pretty sure they did. Ballyboden are in two finals, and then Shlachneil in Derry have already, I think, got the hurling sorted out, haven't they?
Correct.
And they're going well in the football. So, Pat, it's not something you suppose you really had to worry about below in Temple, no, but there are pockets of hurling below in Kerry, and so you're probably aware that, you know, riding two horses with one arse isn't the easiest thing to do.
No, look, first of all, just let's get back, and I've got to praise Cork, because what they achieved at the double 30 years ago is an amazing achievement, and I don't think it will ever again be achieved, and what Teddy McCarthy achieved. And I played against Teddy, and I know a lot of those footballers. They were great footballers, great ambassadors, great lads. And we won't mention about the two Kildare boys, but that's for another day. as regards trying to juggle two balls at the one time, I mean, down here I see in Kenmare, my club, this area is a hurling club, so some Temple Knoll lads play hurling with Kenmare. The difficulty of trying to play hurling and football, I think, was best illustrated in Kenmare this year, because Kenmare are a great club side. They got to the county club senior football final last week and were beaten. But in between, having won the semi-final of the Kerry Club, they then played intermediate hurling championship and lost their best player through injury in the hurling match. And a Kerry under 20 footballer, and probably if they had him, they would have won the Kerry senior club football. So look, it's almost impossible, I think, to be able to. I mean, I see in Lochmore, Castle Island, what's very interesting is that it's the same management team.
That's,
I think,
very
as far as I'm
key,
aware,
Pat.
Are
very
involved
key.
In both football and hurling. So there is a bit of an understanding. But you know, like, I mean, the hurling boys don't really rate this big ball game that much, you know. So because we're, you know, they have the game of the gods, so they don't really tolerate
excuse me.
The gods.
Played in two Clare football semi-final senior.
Sorry, get to the final, two of them. My last game of hurling was full forward for the National College of Physical Education against St. Pat's Training College of Drumcondra. I was full forward, and the full back was some fella called Brian Cody. I don't know, how did he get on afterwards? I don't know if he could read or not.
Did he hold you? How did you get on, Pat? Did you score?
Ah, jeez, I couldn't puck snow off a rope, you know. Geez, all I was doing was dropping the hurling and trying to kick the slit as far as I can. All I know is I had a badly black and blue bruised foot from being hit by hurlers. That was it. I wasn't a hurler.
I wouldn't say Brian Cody would suffer a part-time hurler.
No.
You're funny.
I had him in leg for the legs, all right, but unfortunately.
I suppose in Kerry, Pat, you would say that the closest they might come to would be Finnoog. You know, they had multi-talented football teams, I suppose. No, never quite went all the way, but they were great hurlers with Lixnaw as well, like St. Parry.
Eamon Fitzmaurice was an excellent hurler.
Of course he did.
Brilliant. Paul Galvin. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Actually, it's interesting this weekend, and because there is a clash this weekend, because obviously, you know, Anthony, the Kerry hurling final is on Sunday. But I'm nearly certain, 100% certain, there's definitely two hurlers playing with Nagail in the Kerry quarter-final of the Intermediate Football Championship on Saturday. They're scheduled to play. So now, that's the difficulty, because some of the hurling clubs provide the lads play football with Nagail and Tralee. So there is a clash over the weekend.
Yeah, and Tralee,
I think
Parnell's Pat are in the Intermediate hurling final, and some of the Nagail lads play with them as well, so... Yeah.
Pat made a key point there, though, Mikey, in terms of the Lochmore having more or less the same management across both codes. I think that just solves so much problems for you, because it's just the one management team sitting down with the players to figure out a roster and to say, right, lads, we're going to do football this week because it's football championship at the weekend. Next week, we'll do hurling only. And on we go. So there's no rows. There's no fighting over players or squabbling over pitch.
Yeah.
Pitch allocation. Can we have Tuesday? Can you have Thursday? Well, we need this player. We need that player. There's none of that. So that is actually a very, very handy thing for Lochmore to be able to draw on, and then probably gives them a very good advantage. And you wouldn't back against them from achieving
it again. For most clubs, I think that would be the situation. Also, be that it's the same group of players. Like Shelmaliers, I think the goalkeeper is different on the two teams. And other than that, you're talking about the same 14 lads starting and the same panel. So you should have, if you have two reasonable managers, you should be able to come to that solution. I checked it, the power of the internet, Lochmore Castellani did the Dublin 2013, and they were the first Tipperary club.
I was just thinking, it was around 2013, 2014.
They're going for the double-double.
Some achievement
now. The problem, I suppose, and you'd have some experience of it, I suppose, Anthony, or at least dealing with the club, Ballyboden have a playing population and the same as some counties, and they aren't the same pool of players, and you're talking about the biggest sports club in Europe. For them to be able to balance the two, granted they have more players, they have greater resources, but the admin and the balancing act that they have to perform with the few dual players they do have must be a real headache.
Yeah, I wouldn't say, Mikey, this year they have as many as they would have had in other years. Simon Lambert and Shane Dorkin, would definitely have played Stephen Lee back with them in the hurling, but I don't think he's back football. I presume Connell Keane
is still playing. Yeah, he is.
He's Superman at nearly 38. But I don't think there's too much of a crossover this year. I think but Loughmore is unique, and I suppose one of the advantages to this year, Mike, would be that you don't have Noel McGrath and John McGrath coming back absolutely wrecked after maybe being in an Ireland final with the Tipperary hurlers like that. You've
and John is meant to be a superb footballer, Dalo, isn't he? John,
I think they're all very. I think Brian is very good as well. So, you know, you probably have that advantage. There's been no minor under 20 under our senior inter-county games yet, so they're relatively fresh. And maybe Cracklow did it in Clare. I think at 14. And went to both Munster club finals as well and lost them. But they were knocked out of the hurling fairly early this year, and now they're in the football final. So maybe it is difficult, but this year is a bit unique. Maybe we're seeing a little bit more of that. Obviously, Schlochneil have bucked that trend. And not alone have Schlochneil done that, though, but they've gone on to win Ulster clubs. So they've really backed up how good they are, and how close they got to Ballyhale last year was incredible. So
they probably got the closest, we'll say, over the last few years, really.
They're a really, really good hurling side. Not just, you know, the Derry champions per se mightn't be hectic, be beaten maybe by the Antrim or Down champions. Oh. This team are up there, one of the best club teams in Ireland.
But, you know, getting back to the Wexford County Championship, and the Wexford County Board got a lot of flack over running off their hurling competition so early. But, you know, their formula, their template was very good. They got the hurling championship out of the way. It was very, very successful. And now the football championship is in full swing. And I think, as far as I know, in terms of the Wexford hurlers, I think there's only two or three of them, or maybe four of them, that actually don't play football. But it, you know, this split season within the club scene in a county has worked very well as well, because it has facilitated fellas to play in both codes and to give their all to the club instead of being given the difficult decision of having to make a choice of one over the other. So it's been a win-win. I mean, this pandemic, in terms of restructuring of the GAA, in terms of county's fixtures, but in particular in terms of club fixtures, has been a win-win on all sides.
Yeah, it works. I think it works for pure dual counties where you have like every club in Wexford bar two are dual clubs. So it does work for them. The problem we were talking about it here a few weeks ago, Brendan Cummins says the problem is in counties where you have football and hurling clubs and they'd be lying idle for so many weeks and then it mightn't work. But for the pure dual counties that have the biggest problem, like Tipperary are kind of one, but Waterford and Wexford are the two who have done it. Cork, you can make the argument, except there's just so many clubs, or you'd never run off two championships in
too many clubs, and very, very complicated fixtures program. I mean, I don't know how they do it. I have to be honest. You know, when you consider that you've eight divisions and you've all the junior, intermediate, senior, Premier One, Premier Two, all these types of stuff, it's unbelievable. It's like it's Pythagoras' theorem multiplied by 10,000. It's incredible how they managed to pull it all together. But
Cork, Rory, Cork.
I know. But I think it's probably worked against Cork too, to a large extent, the difficulties with pulling those fixtures together. I think, to be fair, having spent, you know, quite a long time in Dublin now, I actually do think Dublin have the best system, and that is just straight up every second weekend. So the year is divided into 40 weeks, it's 20 hurling and 20 football.
That's good. Yeah.
And it's every second weekend.
You were a dual player, Anthony.
We always played football, Mike. We actually don't anymore, and it's not a great sign of the club, to my opinion, because I always thought when we were going well in the football, it was a good sign that we were going well in the hurling.
What kind of footballer were you? And did you mind going week on, week off? Do you think it affected your hurling?
Well, I got an awful scalding in a county semi-final of Padraig Conway, a cornerback, Mikey, and I declared to the foot officials in the club that I was never playing the backs again. So I not wound up a full forward in the football. I wouldn't be in Pat's league, but had a couple of good days. Won an intermediate in 1998 at full forward, kicked a goal in 2 or 3 in that final. We went back up senior, but lately, while we are competing at underage in the football, we just haven't been able to put it together. We're struggling in the hurling as well. So the other thing to look at, Mikey, is with Cork, like from we'd say Monday night when counties were allowed back training, I presume that Waterford would have had 32 lads training on Monday night or Tuesday night, whereas Cork have to wait 4 more weeks probably before they'll have a full inter-county training session for Kieran Kingston, you know, and likewise in the football, because they're still, you know, they're only just finished their quarterfinals. Yes. Whereas Waterford, I know there is a couple of dual players, but I don't know how they're fixed. Are they still there? But I'd say Liam Cahill would have had most of his players this week, and that's yeah. some advantage facing into it's
a good point, Dalo, because I used to tear my hair out when I'd hear people saying, oh, the Jude player is dead. The Jude player is not dead. The Jude player is alive and well, and the Jude player will always be with us. He just doesn't exist at inter-county level anymore.
Yeah.
But he was only a small portion of that anyway, to begin with. There was only the very rare, the Jimmy Barrys and, you know, the Teddy Max. So the Jude player will always be there for time and eternity, will always exist, just at club level. And I think that's probably, again, a difficulty that, you know, the likes of Kieran Kingston's and Ronan McCarthy will probably face over the next couple of weeks in getting access to players. But look, the reality is they're not out in the championship until, what, the 31st of October in hurling. And I think it's the 7th of November when Cork play Kerry Pat. So, you know, I mean, how long do you need?
Those league matches are for the Cork footballers at least. That's a date ringed in the diary there.
Oh, that's right. That's
not to be ignored, are they?
Yeah.
I still wouldn't like to be given kind of a fairly equal rival, Rory, a 4-week start on me. You know, Waterford are a really good hurling team, and
listen, that will there be nothing in
preparation.
That game.
Do you know, just I know Cork are favourites, but you'll be wondering about that tag because you would be saying it's a fierce advantage for a panel to be together. I know you have people saying, isn't it great? We're getting great football matches. We're getting great hurling matches. But we all know the level is different at inter-county. There's no doubt about that.
Big time.
Yeah. And it's also we touched on this last week that, you know, don't get us wrong, Pat. Everybody is delighted that the club is thriving and we're all enjoying seeing the matches. But club is being enjoyed so much because there is no inter-county to distract from it, but make no mistakes, when the inter-county comes back, that's when all the televisions around the country will be turned on and tuning into GAA, and that's the real shop window for the GAA. And not that I think there'll be any horrible mismatches because of, you know, training windows or whatever, but
actually it's a fair point, Mikey. I mean, over the last couple of weeks, I mean, there's no doubt about the club championships have provided unbelievable entertainment. There's been some absolutely tremendous matches. The best match I saw was last Saturday night.
Mid-Kerry against Crokes?
Mid-Kerry and Crokes played last Saturday night. Oh, extra time. It was three goals and 19 pints to three goals and 20 pints. There was six goals and 33 pints scored from play. It was Gaelic football at its very best. But, you know, a word of caution, you know, in terms of club football and club hurling, I mean, it's still a much lower standard than what operates at inter-county level. So, I mean, look, at the end of the day, the club championships have been brilliant. It provides us great entertainment. But our shop window is the inter-county. That's where the cream of our players play. That's where we see the top quality matches. And that's why, you know, it's so important that the Ireland hurling and football championships are going to be played off over the coming months. It's just going to be brilliant.
Yeah, too right. The club's got it was interesting this week, Anthony, kind of everything kind of conflated, it came together. Obviously the counties can go back training with however many players they have who are out of club championship, and then the government released their plan for living with COVID. And I think the GAA ain't going to kick up a stink after how it went last time, but I think you can sense there's disappointment at the numbers of spectators. Now, at least it's purely spectators now, and it is 200 tickets for a match rather than 200 minus players and everybody else. So, but you get the sense that everybody's expecting that number to be a bit higher than 200, don't you?
Yeah, we would have thought maybe, Mikey, we'd get double that, you know, that we'd get 200 each club, you know, and properly. God, I wasn't at Mass in a long time, lads, but I was at an anniversary Mass on Sunday, and just to see the way the church was properly laid out, you know, cordoned off, you could sit in a seat. Surely we could have done it with our bigger stadium. Then the problem was, I suppose, initially when the kind of 50 supporters were allowed in, they were inclined to congregate. There was no doubt about that, and sit near each other. And we all saw that. And we even see it in the north where they have bigger, you know, I watched the Antrim County final on Sunday, and there definitely was people sitting or standing too close to each other. Maybe they were all from the one family, I doubt it. But yeah, look, it's great how the 100 tickets are going. I'm only thinking O'Callaghan's Mills here in Clare are into their first county finals since 1993. The 100 tickets, the draw better be done, and the hurling field in the middle of the field where everyone can see it to be done fairly anyway. And you know, you think of the likes of Doon on Saturday night. I know we're televising the match, but you know, Doon have never won the championship, and to be there, if they did do it, I think they would see that as massive. It's going to be some headaches for club committees and secretaries, but it's great as well, I suppose. That
I think, I mean, the government plan, I think is a great starting point. There's no doubt about it. We now have a roadmap for the 6 months ahead. We now must work together and we must now take responsibility. Yes, it's disappointing in terms of the amount of spectators that are allowed at sports fixtures. Because to this day, and you bear in mind when John Horden was interviewed on radio 4 weeks ago, and he spoke about the numbers of players that were training daily in Ireland. I think it was 97,000 every day were involved in GAA activity. He talked about the 71,000 that were in Cool Camp. And he talked about the fact that there was no evidence, there was no COVID case from all of those training sessions, all of those matches. And to this day, I've constantly asked, where is the evidence? Where is the evidence? Where is the evidence that spectators shouldn't be allowed at GAA matches? And they have yet to provide the evidence. But the glimmer of hope I see is that This is a start. This is a really good start. Could be more. But the key is, with the submission that the FAI, the IRFU, and the GAA are going to make to the government in terms of bigger crowds at the larger stadium, I think we, by the time the championship comes around, and certainly by the time All-Ireland in December, we will certainly see much, much bigger crowds in Croke Park, Páirc Cliath, Turles and the Aviva. And I hope so. But, you know, just getting back to an aside, I mean, what is great, again, another positive out of all this pandemic is the fact that the out-of-control juggernaut we've spoken about for many times here, the inter-county training, has now been reined in. And Central Council are now overseeing inter-county training regimes, and where they're restricted to 3 collective training sessions a week, where match day panels will only be 26, where there's only something like 11 going to be allowed into backroom squads. That is a great start. You know? That is absolutely
brilliant. Could you see that, Pat, become a template even beyond COVID?
It has to, Rory. It has to. And I was just, you know, before coming on today, I said, you know, I was just looking at the statistics again. I mean, last year, 2019, 30 million, just shy of 30 million, was spent on training inter-county team. 26 counties last year increased spending in 2019. 7 counties, Rory, 7 counties spent over $1 million training their inter-county teams. There's 3 just shy of $1 million. I mean, the top 3 counties, the top 4 counties, Galway 4, 1.61 million, Cork, 1.62 million. I know there are Mayo, who are not a dual county, 1.71 million spent last year on training inter-county. And Tipperary, okay, a dual county, but their footballers didn't go. They did win the hurling, 1.77 million. It was absolutely unsustainable, out of control. And bear in mind, lads, they're just the vouched expenses. What's being spent under the counter? So if we can control that, if we can control the amount of training sessions, if we can control the regime of the inter-county manager, good days.
Some of the expenses, Anthony, though, I suppose, are things that you wouldn't like to see carried on because they not quite player welfare, but kind of what is coming out of the player's pocket, I suppose. Mileage has been cut from 65 cent to 45 cent per mile and 30 cents for every mile after 100 miles. Like, costs, I think we all agree savings can be made, and limiting the number of training sessions seems like the bluntest and most effective instrument. But you wouldn't like to see players being out of pocket after this year. That you'd hope that's just a one-off, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and you'd be conscious that likes of Mayo would have maybe anting up to 10, 12 players in Dublin. You know, probably more unusual amount. And often, going back to my time with Dublin, that they'd be having a private session. Donnybrook would have gone up because it was easier than bringing them down to train them up there. Likes of Aidan O'Shea was in it at the time. It wouldn't. I think it'll be very hard to police, Pat, the 3 sessions. You know, I think county boards want success. Are we going to go back to the same couple of counties? I know there hasn't been that much change, but in hurling, there has been a nice bit of change, I'd say, over the last, you know, 25, 30 years of counties.
Huge,
you know.
Change, Dave.
Yeah, and look, I remember doing 24 sessions in 26 days under Shlucknan at one stage. You'd say the ludicrous now, I suppose, and but it was all part of the mental toughness that we needed.
Free to run up a hill, though.
We'd no tradition. Mm-hmm. We'd no tradition behind us and that kind of thing. We certainly got our dinner or our breakfast after the sessions, and not so sure about mileage and stuff like that. I had no car at the time, and I was younger. But, no, look, I didn't be very hard to police, I have to say that. Counties who want to get an edge on other counties will try and do extra. There's no doubt about that. Otherwise, we'd be back to Kilkenny and Tip just winning it every year, and maybe even Cork will come back and win one, Rory.
Yeah. The only way you can police it, though, Dalo, I think the simplest way to police it is how it's being done this year. Because if the entire championship is being bankrolled from a central fund,
yes, correct.
It means you're not going to individual, like, so, you know.
But is that not just an exception for the year or in it, Rory?
It is for this year. But it is for this year. But if they want to address and tackle the burgeoning cost of intercounty, that's the question I was asking Pat earlier. Is this something that maybe needs to be carried on beyond it? Because it's much more difficult. It's a lot more difficult to abuse this system when you have to go to Croke Park to vote your expenses and you say, well, I was in this place on Tuesday night. Well, hang on. You know, because you were only supposed to be on that place once or twice, and you know, so it's not going to a county board. No. A county board will have a certain amount of sympathy because the county board will want the county team to win.
And what about the counties with the maybe high-profile sponsors, Rory?
That is a different kettle of fish entirely, and that is a big, big problem. Yes. The sugar daddies out there, how they deal with that, I have no clue.
And the sugar daddies might have less sugar now than they used to have as well.
That's true. You know?
Those pockets aren't probably, for some of them, those pockets aren't as deep as they were.
But like, the bottom line is, I think, like I said, it's been policed at central council level, which is, because county boards were turning a blind, and county chairman were turning a blind eye. And by the way, let's not pretend that counties haven't been training over the last couple of months. I know for certain of three counties who have had training sessions. Okay, they do it cute, they train in pods and they train nice and quick. But look, at the end of the day, if it's policed from central level, and if they say, right, three training sessions, and as regards insurance and everything like that, you're not covered. And believe me, if you're not covered for insurance, whatever, and God forbid anything happens at an unauthorised training session or match, well then, all hell breaks loose. You're in big trouble.
Yeah, well, we often say, you know, the GA, we give them enough flack for, like, you know, they put rules in place and then they don't kind of impose them. But in this instance, I think Rory has a point.
I'd say it will be strict. It will be very strict.
I think so.
We'll finish up soon enough because it's a relatively quiet week and I was late to start this, so I'll just take the blame for that. Just a word on Paul Galvin, my Wexford glasses on. It's a loss, but Anthony, I'll go to you first. You know the pressures of intercounty management. As far as we know, he's moved to Mayo. I think the family relocated to Mayo. Mayo to Wexford. Davey's doing a long trip there, but Mayo to Wexford. I used to live in Mayo, and when I was there for 3 or 4 months, I think I visited my family once because it's a hell of a drive. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So, like, this is a hobby at the end of the day for these guys, and I don't think anybody can begrudge them.
Yeah. Oh, look, I obviously trained Dublin for 6 years, Mikey, and I was lucky enough. I got a good customer to lease my pub, I suppose. So that was out of my hands, and we managed the shop as best we could for the few years.
You were able to share the driving as well a little bit, Dalo, with Christy down.
Well, Christy was doing goalkeeping coach two or three of the last years in it, you know, which was a big help to have someone in the car. Yeah, Wexford was the toughest place to go for me for a National League game. It was an awful drive. Like, Dublin was much easier because you were out onto good roads straight away. And I suppose his circumstances have changed. He's obviously a busy man as well with the clothing stuff he does, you know. And he's a good guy, Paul, and he wouldn't have gone into it, I'd say, unless he thought he could give it 100%. But then if you can't give it 100%, you'd be untrue to the county and untrue to your...
From talking to people down there, he was the plans he had in place, not just for the team, but for, like, Gaelic, like, he was almost taking a director of football role or trying to implement those plans. No, he wasn't being at all half-arsed about it, and, like, it's a real blow for them that he's gone. But and they do, he definitely leaves on.
I met him for a few minutes. I'd actually know him fairly well, and I met him for a few minutes at last year's football replay, and he had been appointed at that stage, and he was. Talk about milking me for 20 minutes about ideas, about training and organising things. And he was mad enthusiastic. But I suppose if like Mayo to Wexford, lads, is not an easy one.
Not everyone, look, Pat, would have seen him.
I'll tell you this about, actually, I've only met the guy once in my life, believe it or not, so I don't know the man at all. He was a brilliant footballer. Look, the bottom line, and I think Ante alluded to, I mean, in terms of intercounty management nowadays, it's as close to a full-time job
as you can get. It's ideal for fellas who are retired, teachers, and obviously fellas who are in charge of their own company who can come and go when they wish. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
It's huge time consuming. I always felt that Paul Gallivan's selection was a brilliant left field selection because he's a deep thinker in the game. He's good on tactics and whatever like that. I'm surprised, though. I swear to God. I mean, and I can understand. He's now relocated to Mayo. He's a hugely successful fashion designer. I can't understand the timing, though. Tullock O'Brien pulled out of Carlow many, many months ago. They replaced him with Niall Carew. He left them in plenty of time to build. I mean, you think, why I wonder about this? Why, it's the timing. God save us. He's just a month away from the National League. He has a vital promotion game against Limerick. They play Limerick. They play Wicklow in the final game of the league. The following week, they play Wicklow in the Championship. And if they beat Wicklow in the Championship, they didn't play Meath. That's the farthest they'd go in the Championship. So at the end of the day, between now and the time they probably exit the Championship, there's only 2 months. I'm surprised at the timing. I'm sure, I don't know. I think there's more questions than answers, maybe. But that's a suspicious mind.
I think it's disappointing, though, Mikey. I was very I was very curious.
Oh, don't get me wrong. They're definitely disappointed. Yeah.
The one thing that struck me, and I this is very difficult to ascertain from watching a television program, admittedly, but his contributions to the underdogs I found fascinating. Yeah. I think he's an exceptional communicator. I think that was the first thing that came across. I think the players really looked to me like he gave the sense that he was the kind of player, the kind of manager that the players wanted to play for,
and takes outside the box. Thinks outside the box.
And he spoke. He was able to do that thing that I think most players really crave. Simple language, very to the point, blunt, in your face, and no bullshit. And I think from that point of view, I would have been very, very enthused and very curious to see how they went. And as Pat has just mapped out their season there over the next couple of weeks, like there was a lot of very achievable goals in there too. Would you not think?
They could have got promotion. They're playing Limerick, who are first, if they beat Limerick.
I might have been capable of a surprise, you know, like, who knows, they might have pulled off a shock there.
But one of the difficulties, and maybe Anthony alluded to, you know, sometimes great players don't necessarily make great managers, for the very simple reason that their standards are so, so high, they're so, so demanding. And sometimes the messages that were coming out of Wexford was that he felt the fellas weren't giving what he gave as a player. I think Larry Tompkins had the same issues in Cork, you know. So maybe there was a question of terms of commitment. He didn't believe the player giving them the level he demanded and he expected, and he gave himself as a player.
Yeah, I'd say that can be an issue in lots of cases, Pat, especially with a huge achiever like him. But I don't know. I think I have to take it at face value. I don't think Paul would leave them high and dry at this stage unless he felt he just couldn't give it the commitment. As you said, Pat, it's 2 months max, probably.
That's all.
I think if he could do it, I think he would do it. He would have pulled before this. We don't know what changes. So, I mean, he knew that the football championship was coming after the hurling championship. He knew that for the last 3 months, I suppose. So I just think we had to take him at face value on this, that he couldn't. And I know that appointed, I think, Shane Roach, is it?
As the manager. Shane Roach.
Who was working with him. So, look, there mightn't be that much disruption. I know hurling has become... There was a while there with Wexford. Football nearly was on parlance with the hurling, but now since Davey went in, especially, hurling is the big gig there. So,
yeah. I wonder if
football is the same correlation.
Yeah. An element of... We've all got used... Look, we've been doing this podcast remotely, Rory, since March, and a lot of us are working remotely, and... maybe he got used to the idea of the Wexford management job being a remote job. He had Zoom calls with Shane and with his players or whatever. And now the actual, he realizes he's a week or two away from hitting that road to Wexford. And he probably weighed it up and thought, actually, I'm not sure I'm ready for this.
I'm just finishing off watching All or Nothing there with Tottenham Hotspur, which I'm sure Dalo would love. It's absolutely it's an incredible watch. I'd highly recommend it actually to anybody if they have access to Amazon Prime. But it's fascinating, in all in and around the COVID thing, when that hit and having to conduct training sessions via Zoom and this big, huge, massive wall monitor with the 34 or 35 players all on a squad and all doing their individual exercises. I could actually picture Galvin in the role of Mourinho conducting it like the conductor of an orchestra. But anyway, so there we are.
Yeah, fellas like Christy O'Connor, who'd be involved in the Cork coaching setup this year, Rory, told me that he got very enthusiastic watching one of the group Zoom things, and they were doing press-ups and sit-ups. I can't walk, Dalo. He says to me the following day. He got carried away with himself. thinking he was up there. I might do a bit of this, he said, and he suffered. I think it was the only night he did it.
I can imagine Christy getting into that, all right. Yeah. Gents, we might leave it at that. Enjoyable old chat. And you know what? We'll have inter-county games to talk about soon, or if not that, at least inter-county trading. You know, it's something. So thanks to Pat, thanks to Anthony, and thanks to Rory. Rory, very quickly, you are...
Limerick County final. Dalo's on co-com duty. Hopefully, it'll be a good contest. The one negative, I suppose, Dale O'Doon are missing Richie English and Dara O'Donovan, which would be the two kind of big county players, which would be a killer blow for most teams. But you feel they're still in with a twist on this?
Yeah, like they've had massive underage success. They probably had more than most story at minor 21. So a lot of these guys coming through now, a fella called Mikey O'Brien would go from wing back into centre back in place of Dara. Now, Dara O'Donovan, Richie English, like for most club teams, it would be impossible. But everyone thought that against Kilmallock that would be impossible. And they still came out and a big, huge win. And if the likes of Pat Ryan and Barry Murphy and these guys hit form, you know, we know that Kevin Downes is a big doubt. He has 12 stitches in his finger. And Shane Dowling has gone for Napiercik. So maybe that levels it up a bit. Napiercik would be entitled to be favoured, so, and bring the crown back across the road to their clubhouse, which will probably be hosting more people than the Gaelic grounds.
Correct,
yeah. Bluebirds.
We will... We will catch you again next week. Just a reminder, we got a rugby and a soccer podcast out there available to download at the moment as well. And the RTE News app and RTE Sport website for all your GA news. And plenty of match reports this weekend because we got the county finals, so you get them all there. All right, thanks very much, lads, and we'll catch you all again next week.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. It's over.